Welcome to Vallejos Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast on Trinity Sunday, June 16th, 2019. Preaching today is the Reverend Wendy Camori Stager. Her message is Holy Spirit 101. The Old Testament lesson is Genesis 1, verses 1 through 5. And the New Testament lesson is John 14, verses 8 through 17, 25 through 27.
Sermon title is Holy Spirit 101. Who is the Holy Spirit? I'm found when I teach confirmation classes and the young people start to write their statements of faith, they got the God part down. God is creator. God is powerful. God makes sense. The Jesus part? Well, Jesus is the teacher, the shepherd, the one crucified and risen. That makes sense. The Holy Spirit, they leave it blank. It's not just our young people. The Holy Spirit is the least known person of the Trinity. And what do we call the Holy Spirit as a pronoun? Is that him or her or it? And then we have this weird person of the Holy Ghost. We'll sing the doxology later in our service. Praise God above, ye heavenly host, Creator Christ and Holy Ghost. Wait. Who's the Holy Ghost? Do we have some haunting, ethereal presence here? Or is it more that friendly ghost? Do you remember Casper, the friendly ghost? He had a ghost friend named Wendy. Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit, we're talking about the same person. It's a translation issue. The doxology was published in 1709 in England, and in that same era of that King James Bible, ghost meant an immaterial being, a spirit. It had none of the spooky, haunting connotations that we have now. So at the time that song was written, ghost and spirit were completely synonymous. But as the English language evolved, Geist, which comes from the German word for spirit, and Spiritus, which comes from the Latin word of spirit, diverged, so that by now we would not make a ghost and a spirit to be equivalent. So now Holy Ghost sounds pretty weird to our modern ears, but back then it worked. And I think we still sing it because ghost rhymes with heavenly host. Thinking about the Holy Spirit, I myself made a memorable mistake and theological heresy when I was preparing to become an ordained Presbyterian pastor. Anybody who wants to be a pastor needs to write a statement of faith that gets reviewed by a committee. I wrote something about the Spirit that was given as a gift at Pentecost, promised by Jesus, like it said in the book of John. And I got the big from my committee. Wrong. I was remembering this passage from John that Erlene read today, where Jesus says, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. And I was remembering the Pentecost story we read last week, when the disciples were waiting and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples and appeared like tongues of flame. But my error is that my faith statement made it sound like the Holy Spirit came after God and Jesus, and therefore isn't equal to God and Jesus. My heresy was in not being Trinitarian, one God in three persons. So with mentors and advice, I changed my statement of faith and grew in my understanding of the Holy Spirit. I was referred by my pastor back to the Genesis passage. Genesis 1, verse 2. When the wind from God swept over the face of the waters. That wind from God was there at the very beginning. And that this could be an argument that the Holy Spirit was there right at the start. Now, if you too are confused about the Holy Spirit and where the Holy Spirit comes from and how the Holy Spirit fits into the Trinity, you are not alone. This Trinitarian nature of God was the cause of significant theological angst from the beginning. The church, where's my slide? There we go. So although we have references to the wind and spirit in Scripture, ruach in the Hebrew, pneuma in the Greek, it means, those words mean it's moving air. Next slide. So this nature of God was cause of much disagreement. So the church leaders in the 300 CE under Emperor Constantine, they were fighting so bitterly that the emperor called them all together to the town of Nicaea and made them figure it out. At that point in time, they weren't so concerned about the Holy Spirit yet. They were fighting about how can Jesus be God and God be God and Jesus be the Son of God. Was Jesus similar to God? Was Jesus distinct from God? Was Jesus part of God's creation and therefore less than God? Or what is this relationship between Jesus and the Creator God? And Constantine declared, this question has to get solved. Because he became a Christian with the hope that Christianity would help to unite his Roman government. But he found the Christians themselves were all divided over this doctrine and this idea. And so in 325 CE, he asked the bishops from the entire church to come together and agree on a creed. There were representatives from churches in Asia, Africa, and Europe, from Turkey. And the theological debate was intense. One visitor, and a historian records, one visitor to Constantinople wrote, "The city is full of common people who act like theologians in the shops and streets. If you ask a man to change a piece of silver, he informs you wherein the Son differs from the Father. And if you inquire whether the bath is ready, the answer is that the Son was made out of nothing." 2 months of discussion centered the difference on one main idea, the letter I. One group maintained that the Son and the Father were of the same substance, homoousios. Another group said, no, they're different substance, homoiousios. How did they resolve this? The bishops took a vote. Sounds kind of Presbyterian, actually. They took a vote and said, okay, more of us are going to agree. It's homoousios. This means that Jesus and God are the same in being. They're the same in essence. And they use the words begotten, not made. Because if Jesus had been made, the Creator would have been the one who created Jesus. But if Jesus was begotten, then Jesus would have the same substance. C.S. Lewis discussed this in his book, Mere Christianity. We don't use the words begetting or begotten very much in modern English, but everyone still knows what they mean. To beget is to become the father of. To create is to make. The difference is this. When you beget, you beget something of the same kind as yourself. A man begets human babies, a beaver begets little beavers, and a bird begets eggs which turn into birds. But when you make something more like himself, say a statue. If he's a clever enough statue, he may make a statue that looks very like a person indeed, but of course it's not a real person. It only looks like one. It cannot breathe or think. It is not alive. Now that's the first thing to get clear. What God begets is God, just as what human begets is human. What God creates is not God, just as what humans create, make, are not human. And so that by saying that Jesus is begotten of the Father, we're saying that Jesus is fully God and not a creation of God. Nor is the Son of God simply a mode of God. My next slide. But then wait, what? We started this with Holy Spirit 101. What happened to the Holy Spirit part of this, Wendy? Well, it wasn't until later, right, 50 years later, Constantinople, and actually a different emperor called them together. Now they were sitting in Constantinople. And now they're arguing about, well, where does the Holy Spirit fit in to all of this? Is the Holy Spirit, again, from God, created from God? Is it separate from God and Jesus? Or is it that same homoousios? So they worked on it in 381, but this time they managed to leave out a few folks, because in addition to the theological arguments, there were political and civil and empire power plays as well. But the Holy Spirit question led to the first split in the church. So look at this next slide. The Orthodox folk, the Eastern folks, said, well, God the Father comes first, and then we get the Trinity by getting the Son and the Spirit. But some of the other leaders in the West went, no. It's Jesus and God, and from that comes the Holy Spirit. Again, not created, but begotten and proceeding from. So if you look back to the Nicene Creed that we read today, in that third paragraph, notice it says, we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. So now we have God the Creator, the Son, begotten, not made, the Spirit proceeding, but all of this is all the homoousios. They're all the same substance, the same essence and being. And now we call this our triune God. We sang about it already. Holy, 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 God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Here's a weird thing about the word Trinity. It's not in your Bible. You will never find it in Scripture. The Trinitarian idea is there. Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Spirit. We heard about it in John, where there's Jesus talking to the Father and then sending the Son. There's Peter. 1 Peter 1, verses 2 and 3a, Peter writes to the people who have been chosen and destined by God the Father and sanctified by the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ. then the benediction for which I often close the service comes from 2 Corinthians 13:13. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. So although the word Trinity does not appear in the Bible, it came from these early Nicene Creed. That's where this idea of the Trinity finally got formed, of three simultaneous expressions of one divine substance. It's still hard to explain the Trinity. We end up with fun metaphors, right? Like water, it's all H2O, two molecules of hydrogen and one of oxygen, but it can be in a liquid form of water, it can be in a vapor form of steam, it can be in a solid form in ice, but it's all homoousios, it's all the same thing. Some people don't like that because it's too inanimate, that God is not a molecule, God is a person. So another metaphor that we use to describe the Trinity would be to say, I'm Wendy, I'm also a daughter, I'm the daughter of Mary and Komori, I'm also a mother, I'm the mother of Sadie Komori Stager, but am I three persons? No, I am one person, and I can be mother, myself, daughter, all at the same time, with no contradiction in that. Some people go back and look at those things mathematically, right? The Islamic community doesn't like the Trinity. They go, Jesus is fine, God is fine, they're just not the same thing. If you've got God plus Jesus plus the Holy Spirit, you get three. This is not a monotheistic God. But a mathematician would say, sure, that's if you put a plus sign in between them. But if you do one multiplied by one multiplied by one, you get one. Ultimately, all of these are metaphors and analogies as we're trying to understand the nature of God. And I don't claim to have all the answers here. But I didn't want to leave you at the end of the sermon with all this heady Trinitarian stuff. What does the Trinity matter for us today? Well, I think the Trinity matters because it is a core identity of who we are as Christians. And it sets us as unique among world religions. Christianity is not polytheistic, having a panoply of deities like Hinduism. Nor is it saying that Jesus is not God. If Jesus is going to be God and the Holy Spirit is going to be God, right? This is where the Jewish faith and the Muslim faith get a little confused at us. It is a unique claim of Christianity to worship the triune God, that God is divine, and God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, one God as three persons. A second thing I think the Trinity matters for us today is it's actually good to remember our unity in the Trinity. At a time when people of deep Christian faith disagree, we can actually pretty much agree on the Trinity. Even if the Orthodox Church and the Western Church can't figure out if it proceeded from God or from God and the Son, an Orthodox Christian would say, yes, I believe in the triune God. A Catholic Christian would say, I believe in a triune God. A Pentecostal tradition would say, yes, I believe in a triune God. The Catholics, the non-denominational, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. A third thing about Trinitarian theology I think that matters for us is it makes us look at if we are treating the three persons of God equitably. Perhaps, and this happens in our life, there's one aspect of the Trinity that you think of more often, pray to more often, or maybe that you think of less and pray to less. From Trinity, the idea of Trinity and Trinity Sunday, this is the time to take some self-assessment and possibly correct that. To perhaps recognize that there is one person of the Trinity that you tend to overlook. For many of us, that might be the Holy Spirit. But for some of us, it might be Jesus. We always talk about God, 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 God. And we don't talk about Jesus. You know which person of the Trinity it is for you. And I would encourage you to pay attention as you pray and read and think about God, to make sure that all three are in interplay with one another. Lastly, all this Trinitarian stuff helps us to worship. When we worship, we need to know who we are giving our praise to. And every single Sunday, we worship our triune God. Even if we focus a little bit more on one person or that, every single Sunday that we are here, we are praising our triune God. And it is good for us to know the God whom we worship. So let us do that this Sunday and every Sunday and every day, singing, praying, praising our God in three persons. Blessed Trinity.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.